in San Diego.
Man, oh.
This is the least gangster theme song.
For such a gangster.
Like, yeah, she was notorious.
The definition of notorious.
She was a worldwide criminal when you think about it.
Infamous.
Everybody knew about her.
She got the like steel drum band that plays at the Red Day restaurant on the Saturday nights to do her theme song.
She certainly did. And it's a long fucking theme song.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys.
Well, she has to travel the world during it.
Yeah, right?
What'd you get with Carmen Sandiego, even though you don't know what she looks like?
Oh my god.
Yes, of course. There is no question.
That red tipped hat? Of course.
Yeah. I mean,
where in the world is Brian Owens in between Carmen Sandiego?
He has found Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to worry about her like being there the next morning. So she'd be done.
Yeah.
She'd be out.
And she'd take some shit with her too.
Oh yeah. She's gonna disappear. She's probably going to disappear, you know, like mid session. Take like three of your nicest shirts, a watch, definitely any bottles of water laying around.
And you know what she leaves you with?
She gone.
That theme song. That's what she leaves you with.
Right. And can you imagine, like, remember the PC game back in the day? Could you imagine, like, finding, like, a trail of your clothes after she's stolen them and being, like around the corner comes this, like, weary looking henchman that's like, I'm off.
What?
On that note, we are Pop Not Soda. Thank you for tuning in to our 16th episode, guys.
16th.
1-6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quinceañera.
And,
actually, it's at 15.
We want to.
I think that's
Quinceañera 15. Is 15, guys. And that's a birthday.
It sure is.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a birthday for 15-year-old Mexican girls.
Well, we're still riding out our 15th Mexico girl birthday on this podcast.
Brian wasn't here for our quinceañera last week. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nothing big really happened while you were gone. Except... Brett was late on that. We got added to Point & Yale Productions.
We are officially picked up, guys.
It happened.
It's official now, so let's cheer to this.
We are cheersing with delivered PBR from one of our favorite listeners, Elliot.
Yep, Elliot Noteware, shout out to you, brother. Thanks for the PBR right now. Yeah, just wanted to let everybody know about that. We officially got picked up by Point & Yale Productions. It is a great podcast producing local company. They produce such shows like the Degenerate Podcast, This Week in Zoltan, and
there was like Keeping the Faith.
Keeping the Faith.
Just Talk.
They've got Just Talk. They've got a show with Jesse Egan, who's a really good comedian in San Diego too. So it's actually pretty flattering that we're picked up on that. And
we are excited.
We are labeled.
We're
branded now.
We're pros.
Yeah, it's you know, we're very close to selling out too. So
yes,
as you can tell, we've sold out for PBR and mini donuts. If
any company is ready to offer any sort of deal, we are very open to suggestions.
This episode is brought to you by the Claremont Mesa Ross around the corner.
I am not against wearing companies on my clothes.
I'll wear JNCO jeans from Claremont Mesa Ross.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Will you?
Actually.
But will you wear Claremont Mesa Ross on your ass, though?
So that you can if they paid for it, I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how was your trip, Brian?
Man, the trip was great. Gone for a week. And I was in Costa Rica. Just chumming it up with monkeys and...
Were you looking for Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. The bitch has three of my nicest shirts. I'm fucking looking for them. But yeah, trip was awesome. It couldn't have started any worse.
What happened?
I'm glad you asked. So, you know, in terms of leaving the U.S. and getting there, everything was fine. No delays. The flight, I will say the flight had the most turbulence of any flight I've ever taken in my life. I'm talking, it's like a 5.5 hour flight, 3 hours of turbulence.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Just coming into the country. So, you know, not a big deal. It's a red eyes, passed out for most of it. Land, get into the Costa Rica airport going through customs, and their computer in customs not working. So what they decide to do is have one woman on the phone with another person in customs reading off passport numbers so that the person on the other line can input it into the computer, make sure your passport's legit, and then one other woman who's there, you know, like stamping you out and collecting the stupid form you have to fill out, whatever.
So they're calling Milton in the vault that's basically going through all the file cabinets going like, okay, Owens, O, let me grab that. What's the verification number on that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they do have working computers.
Okay, okay.
In the country, the one at the customs desk that particular day was not functioning. So that took 2 hours to get through. Because it took 2 hours to get through, our shuttle that was taking us to our hotel left us.
Awesome.
Took a cab.
Ooh.
It was $120.
Oh.
It was a like
American dollars or
American dollars.
Now did the airport pay for that?
The airport, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay, okay.
So, you know, hopefully we'll get it back through the travel agency that booked our shuttle. We'll get into that at a later date. But the kicker is we get to the hotel, so obviously cab driver needs to get paid. I don't have $120 on me, so I go to the ATM machine, take out some money. But the thing that they forget to give me is my ATM card back. So I'm now in Costa Rica with no ATM card. And I did get some money out. You know, have other credit cards. So it worked out well. Paid the cab driver. So in you know, my first 2 hours in the country, I had to wait in a ridiculously long customs line. Got my debit card eaten. And then to kick it off, we go down to the pool. We can't check in. So we get there like...
Oh, so it captured the card. It
just, yeah. Like, okay, it just ate my card.
For a second, I was thinking it was like some guy with a sign over his, that said ATM machine, and then he was just taking money, and then he was like, oh, I forgot to give you my card.
It could have been. It could have been one.
He's hiding in the machine.
Yeah. It'd be a great business model. So yeah, after that ordeal, it's like noon, so we can't check in yet. We change into swimsuits because it's hot as balls. I mean, we're talking probably like high 80s with 90% humidity, just straight sweating, right? So I'm just so ridiculously hot and uncomfortable, I just decide to immediately jump in the pool. Jump in the pool, get out, I'm with my girlfriend, we're walking down to meet her friends because we're there for a wedding, right? So they're all at this like lower pool by this like swim-up bar, and we're going down the steps. Mind you, I had just jumped in the pool, so I am very wet.
Oh, no.
I take one step, literally my first step, and just straight Looney Tunes cartoon fly through the air. I have my sunglasses in one hand, my phone in the other. My sunglasses, done. Just hit the ground, shatter. My phone, I smack so hard on the ground, my case breaks. And I got a nice little dent in the upper right corner. And it's in front of, like, all of her friends who are sitting there. And, you know, like, a guy looks over and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, yeah. Side's fine. Pride's hurt a little bit. And then I drank for 4 days straight.
Yeah. Ate some shit on the first day. Drank a lot for the rest.
Yeah. Luckily, though, I wasn't stung by a stingray, which did happen to a girl. So I'm like in the pool. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to go jump in the ocean because the resort that we're staying at like has the beach attached to it. We're literally on like the upper right or I should say upper left northwestern corner of Costa Rica. And as I'm walking to the beach, there's a girl just laid up, screaming bloody murder because she just got stung by a stingray.
Oh.
And we ended up seeing her later, actually, because she was in a wedding, and she had a walking boot on, cruising around. Her foot got destroyed. I mean, it was like huge. I'd never seen something that gross.
Now, how far? I've always been curious about this because I've seen those resorts before. How far was the pool to the ocean?
I would say maybe 100 yards, if not less.
How much of a dick do you have to be to make a pool right next to the biggest body of water?
Well, you know, the pool's there, so you don't get stung by a stingray.
The pool does not have stingrays in it.
That's true, yeah.
All right, you'd be a dick if you made the pool and then put stingrays in the pool.
Or just put a sign in the ocean saying pool.
Yeah. Free access.
Yeah. So no lifeguard on duty, sorry guys.
It sounds
guys.
Like your first few hours of the trip rivaled like the opening sequence of Meet the Parents.
Yeah, it was definitely a sitcom / romantic comedy type opening. I could not have had a worse few first hours. But in saying that, my trip was awesome. So we stayed there. It was an all-inclusive resort, so just drank my face off like nice. I was Don Draper going through their divorce. And then we decided, so we basically extended the trip. We're down there for a wedding. We were at this the northwestern corner for like 4 days. Then we went into the jungle area, La Fortuna, and stayed at by far the nicest hotel, resort, timeshare, whatever, that I've ever stayed in. It was legit. The Springs Resort and Hotel. Or actually, I think it's the Springs Resort and Spa. Whatever, it's the fucking Springs.
Hey, shout out to the Springs Resort in Costa Rica because we will do a recording down there if you need it. It sounds like we will do a recording down there if you need it.
So at this place, they had naturally heated volcanic hot springs like everywhere. There's like a dozen of them around the property that you could just go into. So essentially, there's like natural jacuzzis or hot tubs. And there's just so much minerals in the water that you come out feeling just fantastic. Like, you just...
That's why you were okay with falling.
Exactly. It's like you did a cannonball into the Fountain of Youth, and you get out and you're just glowing. I feel like David Hasselhoff running on the beach, you know? Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, that will happen.
Wait, now, Brett, you took a trip too.
I took a trip to a beautiful place, actually. Probably
also Spanish, right?
Spanish, yes. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Which is the shithole of the world. I drove up there last weekend.
That's Fresno.
I'm sorry. Or Qatar. We were talking about it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Devil's asshole, Qatar. But I drove up to Los Angeles last weekend. I forgot how shitty that place is. There is not a smooth drive in any quarter mile of Los Angeles when you're trying to go through that city.
What do you mean by smooth drive?
I would say where I can ride a lane, I'm getting greedy, I could ride a fast lane, and it doesn't just disappear in a quarter mile. Because there's so much construction up in LA that you are losing lanes left and right, and you just can't stick in one lane that actually does one thing. Mind you, too, we go up there, and I think we're going through, it had to be like mid-LA, like central LA or whatever. They have walls up that now look like you're driving through Palestine, because they've got concrete walls up on the side that just have barbed wires shooting out of the top. And
what the hell were you?
I swear to God, it feels like segregation wall. You feel like you're driving through Palestine right there. So yeah, mine was just as beautiful, actually. Okay. Yeah. I had a great weekend. How about
so,
you, Dan?
LA has turned into Palestine.
Yeah. So we went up there for Universal Studios. They're building
do they have Harry Potter Studios in Palestine?
No, well, not. Well, I hope not, actually.
Yeah. I don't think they allow movies in Palestine, let alone theme parks.
Now that I'm thinking about it, though, that would be so brilliant if they made a Bollywood theme park, like in India, about... Like basically a ripoff of Universal Studios. That'll be for a later episode or whatever. We'll talk about that. But yeah, we went up
racist episode.
Sorry. So, but yeah, we went up to Universal Studios. They're building Harry Potter's Wizarding World up there. That looks pretty impressive.
Hogwarts up in this bitch.
Hogwarts is officially there, and yeah, Allison's really excited.
Wish I was drinking some butter beer right now.
It's actually pretty good. I've had it before. How was your weekend?
It was good, man. Yeah, low key. I didn't have any of the adventures or annoyances that you guys did.
Yeah.
But I can feel you, you know, growing up in the LA area with traffic. But I have a question for you, Brett. What was more annoying this week? The traffic in LA or getting pre-sale Coachella tickets?
You know, the latter. The latter. I would actually probably say the latter.
And you didn't even really have to do it. It was Allison, right?
I think I've actually ordered more tickets on Coachella online than I've driven up through LA. And this was a more terrible experience.
Yeah, man. It was a crazy, crazy like hour and a half. I didn't even buy any tickets. I was just in the waiting room to help people who were trying to get tickets because I'm a good Samaritan. But also because it's such a pain in the ass to go through these web pages that you never know if you're actually going to get tickets.
Mind you, I'll give you a little insight. So Dan works a floor above me, and Dan lands these tickets for his buddy, comes down to us, and we are stressing because we're about an hour in the line, my girlfriend and I, just waiting to buy these Weekend 2 tickets. Weekend 2 is something that you can pretty much pick up like that. I mean, they are very, very easy to get, except for this year, for some reason or whatever. We're so waiting weird. In line. Yeah, we were waiting in line forever. Dan comes down, and he's like, how about I help you out? I'll get in line for you or whatever, too. So we're all waiting or whatever. It took an hour and a half to basically get Weekend 2 tickets pre-sailed, and we're on a payment plan now, so.
Yeah, and you know what? I did the payment plan last year. And it worked out. Like, I had a good time this past year at Coachella. The lineup was solid. I really enjoyed it. But what always scares me about the pre-sale tickets is that you are buying such an expensive investment without knowing who you're going to see.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we've realistically invested in dog shit acts.
Yeah.
I mean, we're...
The Black Eyed Peas were at Coachella this year. I mean, they weren't on the list, but they showed up.
What's crazy about it is you can't say, like, your money isn't going to a lot of the dog shit acts you hate along with the acts that you love when you buy those tickets. So you're in a really shitty position as a consumer at that point.
But, yeah, so it got me thinking about what would your guys' nightmare Coachella lineups look like? We'll just go with the worst three main day performers.
So like the headliners.
Who would make you cry?
So like, yes, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sunday headliners.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's the risk. It's the risk you take.
Right.
Because you don't want to pay $375 all at once.
And the bad thing is, too, is you don't want to have somebody that's booking that thing going, oh my God, people are going to love Deep Purple if we get them back. They are going to absolutely come in their pants Saturday night if we get Deep Purple. And then everybody's like, what the fuck is this band? I don't even know what Deep Purple is. Oh, the song on Rock Band 1? Okay, cool. Yeah, that. But anyway.
Well, for me, it's always more about the experience as opposed to the musical acts. So, obviously, you go for the music. But I just feel like you can just have fun in that environment. It's worth the price of admission, no matter who's playing.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be good people, whether it's the minority or the majority. You know, I would say 2 years ago it was the majority. Last year or this year might have been the minority.
Minority, yeah.
So, you know, it's just the risk that you run. But at the end of the day, you're still going into the desert and partying your ass off with 200,000 people and having a great time.
Which is pretty awesome.
And I agree with you, except if the lineup comes out and Saturday night headliner is goddamn Nickelback. I'm out.
Okay.
Giving my ticket away.
So
not even selling it.
So you've started that. Because I was still like trying to think about it on my from the hip side. So Nickelback is Saturday.
Oh, God. That would be awful.
Who would be Friday and who would be Sunday?
Right, so
for
my Friday, Creed.
Ooh.
Creed would be the headliner. And not High Creed, where he maybe will be fun. Sober Creed, who just feels guilty about all the drugs he's done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
The TMZ Creed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine if, just real quick, do you want to go to Coachella if Creed and Nickelback are the first two headliners?
Maybe, because I have a strong suspicion that someone's going to attempt to assassinate both of those lead singers. It would be pretty awesome.
It may have historical merit to actually be there. Yeah. At that point. Yeah.
It might be worth viewing.
Yeah.
Touche. It's a very close second for me on who the Sunday headliner would be. Because I think the Sunday headliner you can get away with because you can always leave early.
True.
You're tired.
I mean, you got to beat traffic.
Yeah. I mean, they won't let you out of the campsites past 10 p.m.
Well, and mind you, you've slept next to dubstep for about 2.5 days straight, so you're kind of burnt out
on
Sunday.
You've had like 3/4 of a shower all weekend.
Yeah. After that airdrop of Red Bull came in on Friday, everybody's shitting their brains out on Saturday. So, you know, yeah.
To complete my nightmare lineup of Creed Friday, Nickelback Saturday, the worst Sunday headliner for me, recent artist, Iggy Azalea.
Ooh. Ooh. Not even the twerking
no.
would save her act.
Mm-mm. Nice. Okay. Okay.
That would be the worst possible Coachella lineup for my pre-sale ticket to experience.
Mm. How about you, Brian?
I would probably say Hanson Reunion.
Oh, shit.
Friday night where they play Bop. Just over straight over. For 40 minutes straight, they play Bop because I don't know if they ever made another song than anybody.
I don't think they did. I don't think they did. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our acoustic version of Bop.
Guys, so glad you stuck around.
Hang it up! Hang it up!
Because you know what's coming.
Any guests they brought out would just be remixes of Bop.
Yeah. Just thinking about that makes me want to stab myself in the eardrum. So, Hanson Friday night. Saturday night, Britney Spears. Now.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Because I've seen that tired fucking Vegas show act, and she looks like a beached whale up there. Just like flopping around in a leather getup. Save your money, people.
It's like when you miss the button cues on a dance video game and you're like, what is going on? They're so out of sync.
She's literally the mom who used to be hot and is now trying to recapture that period in her life. I'm sorry, Brittany. That ship has sailed. And unlike Jon Snow, they're paddling pretty quick to get out of there. Sunday night, I would probably cite one of my least favorite rappers of all time, and that individual is Juvenile.
Ooh, Cash Money Records.
Because I have not understood one word he has said in any song ever. Because
I think that grill is bigger than his mouth.
And then just imagine him in live concert and how much more terrible that would be than anything he's ever recorded.
Oh, God. Oh, that's terrible. You want to know mine?
Yes.
Please. So Friday. So I'm going to go on the more artistic, but just you cannot tolerate it kind of people. Friday, I'd say you open it up with Josh Groban. That get people really, really excited and really, really amped up.
Okay.
You know? That would be.
Doesn't Josh Groban have a song that just kind of sounds like a Creed song too?
Oh
yeah. You raise me up, take me higher.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Scott Stapp, Josh Groban, meet up, brothers. Saturday, I would say, man, just because I cannot tolerate them at all.
Aziz Ansari.
I mean that too. He'd do a comedy act on Saturday. I would say. Saturday, actually, I'll put them to the headliner right. On Sunday. They'll close it out on Sunday. Saturday would be a John Legend.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
John Legend. Surprising pick.
Yeah.
It's a piano player at a festival concert. It would not get anybody amped up for anything.
But, I mean, of all other acts that you could think about picking, John Legend.
Can you imagine 80,000 people in a festival ground watching John Legend? One person on a stage.
Everybody might start having sex, and it could turn into like the largest orgy of all time.
I have heard that when he performs, like his songs are so emotional, but then right after he finishes, he's like straight face. It's like the song just didn't happen. He just gets done singing this ballad of all of me. He's like, I guess that was all of me.
Cause all of me.
This is
ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna move on to the next one.
I think I'm John Legend, and this is. That's one.
And Sunday would be the most untalented band I've ever known in my life. Three letters, Fun. I would hate to see Fun. If Fun was ever at Coachella, I would probably bring a gun.
See, the lineup you described could actually happen.
Yeah.
Which is, I've been 4 years. I know this. I'm an expert in this. I could realistically predict this
Josh
more.
Josh Groban.
Right. Josh
Groban. Oh, that's a joke. That's a joke.
Very, 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 very.
Oh, Fun. Yeah. Allison and I have had our, like, basically, it's the anchor in our pocket where we've been like, if Fun gets announced, we're selling those tickets.
I've seen Fun live. They're enjoyable.
I wouldn't see them. I'd go see whoever else was playing.
I would probably sleep in my tent. I would probably sleep in my tent.
Here's the kicker for me. This was the runner-up I had. Three Doors Down.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
So if you replaced Iggy Azalea with Three Doors Down, you don't have Coachella anymore. You have a NASCAR pre-show.
Yeah, that's true. What if you had, like... What if Hoopa Stank... and blind. That would be one of those things. Yeah, I mean, now we're getting into semantics or whatever, but like, yeah.
Hoopa Stank, I would watch Hoopa Stank over Josh Groban.
I probably would too, actually.
I would watch Hoopa Stank over Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
I probably would too, actually.
We're not trying to sell Hoopa Stank right now. Please, my God, trying to sell Hoopa Stank.
If you're still Coachella 2016.
If you're still making music, here's your push. We're going to start the campaign.
Come on to our podcast.
Coachella 16.
And when you're on the stage at Coachella, please give us a shout out.
Yeah.
Because we made it happen.
Come on to our podcast. Play an acoustic version of The Reason. And everybody, and we can all equate the shitty sound to our mic equipment, not the fact that you guys suck at making music.
Exactly. And then we'll ask you 30 times in a row what your name means, because that's just stupid nonsense.
What else is stupid nonsense? FIFA.
Oh, that's there's some big stuff going on FIFA. We talked about it last week.
Yes, we did.
But there have been some things that had actually occurred since that episode released.
Sepp Blatter is no more.
Bye-bye.
The man who declared himself the president of everybody is now just everybody's soon-to-be bitch.
Yeah. The man whose resume said, look at me, fuck you. That was his resume.
Yeah, if you don't know, because you've been living under a rock, Sepp Blatter, the president of FIFA, was asked to resign. Because I'm not even going to give him the credit that he decided on his own to resign. But resigned this week, which caused for joyous celebration heard around the world. I don't think all the countries of the world have celebrated this hard since World War II ended.
Well, I'd say the industrialized countries haven't celebrated this hard.
I mean, a lot of the countries in FIFA, the reason why he got reelected, because they're poor third world countries who need FIFA's money.
Now, what we were talking about last week, though, Dan, now, I think it's becoming more realistic to debate and talk about, is Qatar going to happen? Like, with this whole scandal, with him being the one that put them as the place for 2022 or whatever, will Qatar happen?
I think it will, because they've already started
building
to improve infrastructure. They're putting up the stadiums, you know, whatever. 1,200 people have died already.
And do you think that that
in
death
the construction?
But do you think that that death toll will somehow? I don't know what agency will step in and go, this is ridiculous. If you guys have one more, if all it takes is, like John Oliver was saying, all it takes is one sponsor to go, kill one more person during the building phase, we're pulling out our entire sponsorship of this. Do you think that that'll happen in the next couple of years before this thing happens in 2022?
You know, I think it's hard to really guess that because we don't even know what the future leadership of FIFA is going to look like yet. And I just hope that it's not, because everything that's great about the World Cup gets ruined if they play in Qatar. It's no longer during the summer. It's no longer outside of the regular seasons of Premier and La Liga. And the conditions are just not friendly. And don't even get me started on the laws and regulations that Qatar has to be prejudiced against people. It's not safe for some people to travel to Qatar. So I hope that whoever gets in, whatever comes out, that they somehow take it away.
Well, here's the important piece that a lot of people don't know, is that although he stepped down this week, he's not going to leave the seat until late this year, maybe even into next year, because they still have to figure out who's going to replace him. And I believe at this point, they're going to have another election.
Yes.
And so this entire year, most likely, we'll still have him in the seat. And I just don't know, since the process has already started with Qatar building, you know, all these stadiums, if his incumbent's going to be like, hey, Qatar, actually, just kidding. All those hundreds of millions of dollars that you've spent starting the process, we're going to move it to
I think if they have just cause where they can prove that Qatar was shady in on this deal, because they kind
of
have
to be. Of course.
If that comes out, because I will say, especially with news coming out today, that VP and Zets of FIFA are going to be releasing a lot of inside information, because apparently they flip on Sepp Blatter easier than soccer players flop. That we're gonna get some
Dude.
Good. Yeah, that was a good one.
Thank I had that motherfucker.
Right, we're going to get some good insider information, and I think Sepp is screwed.
Yeah.
Because they may have not had enough to arrest him last week, but give it a couple weeks, and not only will he no longer be the president, but I think he'll have charges pressed against him. But if he's no longer in Switzerland, because his first move after he got elected was probably to go to some country that does not have that tradition.
Yeah.
So he will probably just park his ass in a country that will not extradite him, and he'll live there forever.
Now, Brian brings up a good point, though, too, is it's not just Sepp Blatter that's corrupt. They have indicted, what, 12 people? 16 officials. So is the process itself flawed, then, in re-electing somebody else? Because are these people that were just following Sepp Blatter's precedent and going, okay, this guy is,
Well, one of the guys was an American rep who was openly admitted, and he turned so quick. He did not want to do jail time. admitted to taking bribes, and even he admitted 2 days ago that, yeah, he got paid to vote Qatar. And he knows other people who got paid to vote Qatar. And so, I mean,
so if they pull Sepp Blatter out of it, like, that's my question is, do you think you have the faith of these people that are still there to vote somebody else that's going to be better and actually more ethical and more morally sound with making decisions?
Because I think they're going to witness the pressure what's going to happen
to
them. And they're going to be under such a scrutinized lens of, like, every action that you have from here on out is going to be under a microscope, that there is no room for you to really go in between the lines and accept a bribe or bribe other officials, that it's not smart if you want to stay.
But then again, the microscope that is being held on them is from us,
which
correct?
Is awesome,
like the U.S.
by the way.
I mean, it's from America. So how good are we at regulating sports that actually benefit us?
No.
Because I mean, I think that's a question too. At the end of the day, is are we going to really regulate it that much if this somehow benefits us in the end of the day?
Yeah, because we haven't won yet.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it comes down to where we are in a society where a story like this can just ignite the internet, and as a result of just having the populace majority opinion, like, you have to do what people
say. There's a pressure.
Otherwise, you're just going to get tons of backlash across every form of communication that we have, you know, obviously social media included and just media in general.
And at the end of the day, that's a monetary loss. Like, that's an extreme monetary loss. Oh, yeah,
so many people are invested in either your success or the fact that you can hide sneaky shit that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are exposed, then you're done.
Yeah.
Like, we see it all the time. Like, you are just thrown under the bus because obviously there's a lot more people that have a lot more to lose than just one person at the top. So, you know, you cut the head off, the snake will still slither, but it just won't move as fast for a while. I'm sure what's going to happen is, you know, someone's going to be elected into office, probably from the same regime, probably still shady, but they're going to be smart enough to understand that for, you know, probably the next decade, they got to play by the rules.
There's a scrutinization too.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you can start doing shady stuff when you have a proven track record. People start to forget. Sepp Blatter dies. You know?
No, yeah. And you know your boundaries.
Honestly, yeah, yeah.
And you know your boundaries more realistically
right.
at that
it's
point,
just,
too.
It's just a cycle.
It's creating a cheating scheme in those boundaries instead of the boundaries that existed for the last decades.
You know what country the next FIFA president should come from? Canada.
Canada, eh?
Yeah.
When have you ever heard of a Canadian scandal?
Well, the Women's World Cup is taking place in Canada, and this might be a good gauge of how successful they can be running a soccer organization.
But the messed up thing about that is Sepp Blatter allowed for the Women's World Cup to be played solely on turf.
All turf, yeah. What a dick move.
Yeah, man. Like, and trust me, I've played soccer on turf, and it's awful. You can't slide without just tearing up your legs.
Oh, they've been tearing it, careful
because you have to get it cleaned out thoroughly because you risk the chance of staph infections. I've had friends who are soccer players playing on turf, cut up their legs and get staph infections from the rubber and the field. And it's terrible. But the reason why I say Canada would be a great country to have the next president from is because they don't care if they win. They're just happy to be there.
Yeah. They just want to be a part of the
group.
And
they're not greedy.
Well, I don't know. Justin Bieber came from that piece of shit, so.
Yeah, but he was.
But he's as American as you can get now, okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about a Canadian from Nova Scotia.
I've never trusted a Canadian, Dan. I've never trusted
especially
one.
Especially not one from Nova Scotia. Yeah,
especially not one from Nova Scotia.
It's time you give it a chance.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if Canada. I was going to say Canada for a second.
I would rather trust a Canadian than a guy named Prince Ali, okay?
Because that's the incumbent, or that's the favorite incumbent, correct?
Yeah, he's the favorite, especially because the U.S., Canada, and England are backing him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only reference I have for Prince Ali is Aladdin. And he was a lying motherfucker as Prince Ali.
He sure was. But he had a pretty dope theme song.
You're a faker.
And unless this Prince Ali has a genie.
Prince Ali.
If he has a genie and or can bring Robin Williams back to life, I'm on board. That's the only way. But
okay, those are some strict requirements.
That's where I'm at right
hey,
now.
If any organization could pull it would be FIFA.
They've got enough money to do it.
Yeah,
okay?
So I think it's a good half point to stop off. We'll do a little plug really quick. We'll come back with Brian's movie reviews.
Yeah, if you missed it last week, don't worry. We've got it this week.
We've got some.
Brian, what are you plugging this week? I should say plugging.
I'll be reviewing. this week I will be reviewing Mad Max and Pitch Perfect 2. We're back, pitches.
Oh. I thought it was Pitch Perfect 2, Fury Road.
And something else we have to talk about, too, is I think everybody's been discussing this last week. We got Caitlyn Jenner to talk about, and some other...
Shut your mouth.
A analysis of Witcher, Wild Hunt.
Video game impressions. So, yeah, we'll see you on the flip side.
Man, This PBR is refreshing.
Nothing like PBR and Hansen.
Woo! You know who we have to thank for this?
Who? Dan? Who do we have to thank?
Mr. Elliot.
Elliot Nowhere.
Yes.
I was thinking about that. You know, you can hit him up on email at enotware@gmail.com.
Oh, really?
I've chatted with him a few times on that.
Why would I want to do that?
Because he actually runs a really good website service. He can consult your business. He can buy you a beer. deliver it to your house. And donuts.
He sure can. Almost a better marriage than PBR and Hanson is Nowhere Digital Solutions. Nowhere Digital provides integrated solutions in the areas of web design, web development, video, search engine optimization, or SEO, as the kids are calling it, and internet marketing. Some of Nowhere Digital's high-profile clients include 25 Stripes, The Style Shopper, Helms Brewing Co., Green Recycling, Doris and Franny, American Switchglass, and Vape Kings. Again, you can hit them up at
enotware@gmail.com
for any of your tech, PBR, or donut needs.
Taylor Hanson is still my top guy.
Is he even singing, or is he just singing through his teeth?
And I don't want to know.
Elegant saxophone means, once again, it's time for Brian's employed movie reviews. This week, in special occasion, since it is National Donut Day, I know you got that chocolate twist just staring at you straight in the face. Put it down. Resist the urge. Resist the national holiday. Because I am about to light your ass up with two of the best movie reviews you ever heard. Movie one. Can Crack and Mad Max. The two go hand in hand. We are talking about Mad Max Fury Road remake circa 2015. Same director though. Frank Miller's back. And he is coming at you full steam. This movie was awesome. I loved, maybe not every second of it, but the majority of the seconds. I love the majority of the seconds of this movie. It was just straight action from beginning to end. It had actually a lot of the same actors that were in the original Mad Max, and you know, a different sort of twist for the current remake. The movie stars Tom Hardy as Mad Max, also starring in the film Charlize Theron with a buzzed head, which is actually she could actually pull off.
G.I. Jane did.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
is the best South African treasure next to Nelson Mandela.
You're putting Charlize Theron over Nelson Mandela.
I said next to. He's top.
Okay.
But she would be the second best South African national treasure.
Please note. Please note, White Dan just put Charlize Theron over Nelson Mandela.
I did! I'm not putting him over.
Don't let him lie to you. He likes... he loves the movie Hitch. No, God What's the movie with Will Smith? Hancock. Hancock. He loves Hancock over the entire movement.
If Invictus and Hancock are on, man, watch Hancock.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, circling back to Mad Max, awesome movie. It was really well done in terms of not using a lot of special effects, and the action scenes were mostly just driving through the desert and just crazy, weird, awesome sequences that Frank Miller thought up. Really original stuff. And I did see it in IMAX 3D.
How was the 3D?
It was awesome. It was really well done. You know, not as good as Avatar or Prometheus or The Hobbit, but, you know, like getting...
Okay.
You know, right reaching below. Reaching that level. Right, right. Okay. You could tell it wasn't filmed for 3D, but seeing it in IMAX and having those wide-angle shots were awesome. Really cool.
I will tell you, the one thing I saw in Standard that it looked really obvious was there's one scene towards the end that was just kind of like a 3D pandering. Steering wheel coming out of your face. Yeah. And it looked kind of cheap. It kind of drew me out, but I think IMAX probably counteracts any 3D pandering. But, yeah, I have to agree, man. It was nonstop, like you said, from the get-go.
Certainly was. And it was definitely a lot different than the original movie. You know, obviously, it was, whatever, 30, 40 years ago. But the... I think just the overall theme of the movie was a lot darker than the original.
Much more mature, I think, actually. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of themes in that movie where I was like, this is touching upon a lot of dark, apocalyptic future stuff that is inevitably going to happen if there's a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder what would happen, you know, if society just disappears.
Yeah.
And things were thrown into anarchy. I will say, if you are going to see this film expecting for this huge, great performance by Tom Hardy, you are going to be sadly disappointed because he probably says maybe 12 things.
Neo.
Right, exactly. In the entire film. But I think it's done for a reason. He does narrate the film, so that does... you know, kind of connect you with his character a little bit more. But, you know, you just have to watch the movie to understand why they do that. And it's because he's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Now, a question for you, Brian. Because I think we've all seen this. But I think, would you expect, because when I saw it too, and I think a lot of people felt, when you see it, I think Mad Max actually takes a kind of a supporting role to that movie. He's not really the main character. You know, throughout the movie, he's more of a supporting role. Do you think that that's going to continue through this trilogy? Because from what I've heard, there's going to be one or two more.
Right. I mean, I think it'll probably follow the pattern of the originals where he does become more of a focal point. He's kind of just a, you know, no pun intended, just a driver in regards to the story.
Like the MacGuffin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's just the catalyst for all these things to happen. And yeah, it's pretty much Charlize Theron and the main bad dude, who I can't even remember his name.
Immortan Joe.
Yes.
Who played Toe Cutter in the original.
There you go.
Yep.
He did not age well.
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Too many cigarettes, I'm going to assume.
Yes.
Too many cigarettes and too much red meat.
One thing I thought was interesting is the use of, like, the Nordic religion and the mentions of Valhalla and trying to have this great warrior death so that you live forever in the gates of Valhalla. I thought that was interesting to bring into the mindset of why you had so many people just following this leader blindly.
Yeah, and not to take it beyond, like, not to take it beyond that too, but I, like I was telling a lot of friends before too, I think when you see this movie, a lot of the action scenes are actually, it like it fits with this Viking feel, because you have a lot of the scenes where you're seeing, you know, like minor ships, you know, clambering onto the bigger ship and then towing it down, like throwing it down onto the thing. Like, just a lot of nautical tactics,
yeah,
through the desert or whatever. And you're like, yeah. I mean, it actually looks like ship warfare and for a lot of the action scenes.
The drums and the dude on the guitar just strapped to play the entire time for this war party. No. Which was ridiculous. Not even to mention that the guitar shot
C major. Fire. We're coming up behind him.
I'm pretty sure he was just playing a D chord, the whole power chord, yeah, the whole time.
Yeah.
Which lets them know that we're behind you. There's no, pardon me, no need for a sneak attack in this movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, because the car is driving up behind you, so there's no way to avoid it. But yeah, I mean, the movie was great. Not for the faint of heart, we'll put it that way. And I would definitely recommend it to anyone who likes any sort of action films. Perfect for the summer. Go out and see it. Good job, Mr. Miller. So, Mad Max, I'm going to give 4 out of 5 paychecks. Ooh. Loved it. Awesome in 3D. Definitely recommend it. The next movie, funny enough, when I went to go see Mad Max, like I mentioned, I did see this in theaters. A lot of the movies that I review, I may pirate from the internet and watch for free. Mad Max I did pay for. The funny part about Mad Max is, at the same time, Pitch Perfect 2 had been released. So I show up to the movies waiting for Brett, a couple other friends. I'm a little early. I get my snacks at Target, make sure that I am prepared for the 3-hour onslaught that is the movies. And wouldn't you know, a line develops. So me thinking, oh, that's got to be for Mad Max, of course. Go peruse up to the line, and the line is for Pitch Perfect 2.
Wow.
Great transition, because that will be the next movie I will be reviewing. Pitch Perfect 2. A hilarious comedy / musical starring Miss Anna Kendrick, starring Fat Amy, whatever that British Lode's name is in real life.
I don't mean to take it on a tangent really quick. But, really quick, before we get into that review, Anna Kendrick or Jennifer Lawrence, really quick, who's the cooler person?
Oh, cooler person?
Cooler person.
Oh, shit.
Really quick. Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I would say Jennifer Lawrence. I'm sorry.
Sucks for you, Dan.
No, we're not going to debate this, but I think that's something that everybody's kind of thought about for a while. Continue on.
All right, so this movie, Pitch Perfect 2, starring Jennifer... Anna Kendrick. You know, if you like the first one, you'll love this one. Kind of the same formula. They sing a lot. They go through their trials and tribulations, and spoiler alert, they eventually succeed in the end.
Now, how would you describe Pitch Perfect, the original, if somebody hasn't seen that and then wants to see the...
The original Pitch Perfect was a really original and entertaining musical comedy, with the music being straight a cappella singing.
Okay, okay. Well, that is a perfect sum up to that.
Is there not straight a cappella singing in Pitch Perfect 2?
There is straight a cappella singing in Pitch Perfect 2. Also, some original material, which has a large effect on the movie.
Huh.
Okay.
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 Nice not giving away any spoilers there.
So, I'm going to say like 99% of the cast from the first movies in the second one. The only characters I can't think of is like that Indian kid with the glasses.
Who rapped B.O.B.?
Who rapped B.O.B.? And I don't know. Maybe one person from the original.
You were really
girls
looking
group.
Forward to that Indian kid being in the sequel, huh?
Yeah. He rapped B.O.B. Let's bring him back. Let's see what else he can do. So this particular movie is about the falling out of the Barden Bellas from the university. They are disqualified from collegiate competition and therefore have to enter international a cappella competition. Obviously, the natural transition. So they are competing against different countries in this movie as opposed to different colleges.
So it's gone from Mighty Ducks 1 and Mighty Ducks 2.
That is a perfect description in relation to these two movies.
We basically discovered last week you can describe Mighty Ducks to anything. So
yeah, and ducks fly together. Remember that, kids.
Just like the Barton Bellas.
Ducks fly together.
Bellas sing together. Ducks
and
fly
Bellas
together.
And Bellas clam bump together. So the movie is, it's a roar, a lot of laugh out loud funny parts, and like I said, if you enjoyed the first one in any sort of way, you'll like this one a lot. A lot of stupid, same stupid jokes, but like I mentioned, some original materials in it. What is interesting about this movie, Elizabeth Banks, who is in the first and this sequel, directed the film.
Ah.
No.
I know she produced the first one, so she directed this one.
She directed the second Pitch Perfect.
Now,
movie.
Is it going upwards on a scale of quality, or is it riding the sequel wave where they're kind of monetizing it?
I will say it was refreshing that it wasn't just a terrible spinoff, like they were just making it to capitalize on the success, you know, like kind of the classic success of the first one, because it wasn't really marketed that heavily. It was just a good movie and people liked it a lot. So it's on its own, it could stand alone as,
okay,
you know, a good, nice, entertaining movie. So I would give it 3 paychecks out of 5. Good movie to watch with your significant other, if that is a him or her. And speaking of him or hers, another big ball drop of news.
That is it's actually quite a ball drop, actually.
Yes.
Maybe even
a ball removal of news. And hopefully, Caitlyn Jenner will contribute to the coining of ball removal news, even though I don't think ball drop news is a common expression.
Of New Year's Eve.
But yes, moving on, Caitlyn Jenner, just front and center, literally, if you're referring to the Vanity Fair, in pop culture news this week.
And that's, I think it's actually, from what I've seen, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but from what I've seen, to me, it's almost the most commendable thing that whole family's done in a long while. Because to me, it actually seems like it's not a desperate social media ploy. It's not.
Yeah, I don't think anyone decides to become a woman. Just
well, I'm not making a joke about
no,
that.
No, I'm agreeing with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your ratings were slipping.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not making a joke
Sweeps
about that.
Week.
But I think people are very desperate to gain social media attention these days. And people can really, really, I think, pick apart that family, especially for how many desperate moves they make to just gain social media attention.
Yeah. There's a difference between sets tape and sets change.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is one of these things where you're like, this is actually potentially very authentic. And, I mean, this might be somebody that's actually going through the thing. Dan, how do you feel about it?
I think the majority of media reaction I have been impressed by. Because this is a situation that is being very documented, and Caitlyn Jenner has been very open about, which is the first of its kind for a celebrity, especially a celebrity in a status, which you could say Bruce Jenner was, with his family, his TV show, and just the social media pool, the hits that the Kardashians bring in, love them or hate them, they're still one of the most relevant celebrity families. And so for him to make this decision to switch over to pursue what he's wanted to pursue and become Caitlyn and fully embrace his gender identity is, it's powerful, it's risky, and I just hope that she has as smooth, as sanely as possible through this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same thing. I mean, what's strange about it to me is, I think we talked about it a couple, like, probably six episodes before or whatever. But I think what's really strange is this was like the best male athlete for like a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
if not longer.
And I'm not saying in any negative way whatsoever, but it's just strange to see that transition so late in life for somebody that was so dominant in a male sport, you know, a decade, like 2 decades ago.
Yeah, I think that's why it is such a captivating story, is because you have not only the fact that he was a huge star, you know, 40 years ago in the 70s, he's also to this day probably one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest athlete ever, mm-hmm. in the history of the world. Plus, he has his popularity with the Kardashian show and family. So he's got generations upon generations of people that have grown to know his celebrity, you know, at obviously different stages of his life. Plus, you just have this really interesting story of a man who has battled his identity his entire life and is now embracing what he believes is his true self. So just the combination of all those things have just kind of turned this into like a Category 6 tornado. But in the end, I think it's great because it's bringing awareness to a subject that a lot of people are and, you know, will continually to be uncomfortable with. But at least it's opening up the conversation and will hopefully, you know, serve as a catalyst for continued progress.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's really respectable about this is, even I'll be honest, I think I'm a very big skeptic when it comes to reality television. A lot of people that try to throw themselves at it, I think a lot of the time it's a desperate ploy or whatever. But all of my doubts or, you know, cynicism through the progression of this, it's actually made me believe that this is more authentic than a majority of the stuff, let alone probably everything that I've seen on reality television before. So that alone makes me respect this and kind of go, okay, there's obviously a very big truth to this. And, you know, it's somebody that has struggled with his gender identity for a long time. And I mean, from what I think from that point, that celebrity will allow, I mean, his celebrity or his celebritism or whatever you call it, will allow him to influence so many people because, like you were saying before, I don't think anybody this day and age, our age, has not dealt with a situation like that and not known how to discuss it in a manner that really hasn't been discussed except for in private before. So now you're making a public, you know, discussion about it.
And I think the fact that some people have looked at this situation with Caitlyn Jenner have seen such a, I guess, unexpected acceptance from the mass of pop culture is because this is an issue that is very recent. Sex reassignment and sexual gender transition is a new issue that has not been made popular because, again, people like Bruce in Bruce Jenner's life didn't know what to deal with it, didn't know this was acceptable, didn't know this was an issue.
What the outlets were.
He just didn't feel right. And the point that I came to is that the reason why I think it has been so, hasn't received so much hate, but rather either people don't have a strong feeling about it or accept it, is because there hasn't been generations of people that have hated transgender people. Because hate is not something you're born with, it's something learned. And so if nobody's ever given a thought to be like, I just hate transgenders, that's never been taught to people. That's never been learned. So there isn't this hate going around. I think it's more people, it is an uncomfortable feeling that, because it's different. And people, I think this is one of the hardest things to put yourself in someone else's shoes to understand.
The discussions have always been private.
I think not only that, but I think like the three of us are never going to understand what it feels like to not feel like a guy. And to try and empathize with that. True.
I did see Pitchfork too.
It's just difficult. It's still to empathize because we can't necessarily place ourselves in Caitlyn's shoes. And so I think that's why people feel uncomfortable. I have been a little disheartened at the posts about people who don't want to call her a hero and will then compare it to photos of military people and say, like, these are the real heroes. Which, the biggest piece of irony occurred this week with the highest trending Facebook post, the one that went the most viral, was from this man who posted a photo of a soldier carrying another soldier on his back while he was shooting, and was saying that the caption was like, people keep calling Caitlyn Jenner heroic and brave, but this photo depicts what bravery and real American heroism is. Unbeknownst to him, the photo that he selected to put and post on Facebook was from an upcoming documentary, which covers a man who was nearly beaten to death by five strangers and has started and lost his memory, had amnesia, and started making World War II like documentaries and docudramas in his backyard.
Yeah.
Because that is how he could recover. And the reason why he was beaten almost to death was because he was a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
And the guy had no idea that he used that photo, and he put out a secondary post where he was like, well, shit, fuck me. Look what I get for trying to judge somebody. Nobody should judge anybody because, you know, this man who is making these movies was in a situation similar to Caitlyn Jenner, is brave, took risks, and did not deserve to have that happen to him. And it was just a hate solves nothing, love heals all type of post, which I thought was great to see because it was funny from this situation. You got a person who wanted to not necessarily hate on Caitlyn Jenner, but just didn't feel right calling her a hero, get a kick in the ass by the universe, and a realization that, like, maybe I should just accept people. And it's like, they don't have to be a hero to me, but they're definitely a hero to people going through the similar situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think with anything, when it's first introduced and, you know, obviously not a familiar or comfortable subject, you are going to have initial reactions of rejection or just anger because you can't really understand why somebody would do that if you just don't understand their thought process and what they're going through.
It's unfamiliar, so rather than being comfortable with it, it's easier to take a negating approach to it.
Yeah, it's like if a dinosaur just popped out of the ocean, you know, people are like, man, dinosaurs are stupid. Like, what are they doing here? We should kill it. It's dangerous. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's going to hurt me or not, but yeah. I just, have never encountered
I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah, exactly.
The initial reaction to the unknown is always fear.
Yeah. And but discomfort.
Except when donuts show up at your door.
Ooh.
And beer.
By the way, Elliot Nowhere, shout out to you again. Thank you very, very much for that.
Yeah, he watched us play Tower Ascension?
Yeah. So I think that's, I mean, we're gonna really, really transition.
The last thing we just want to say, Pop Not Soda, Caitlyn Jenner, we keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, in fact, let's do this right now.
I think it
would be a cool thing.
Tweet
in
yourself.
Fact, right now, let's follow them. Let's follow her. Right now,
Jenner.
Let's follow her right now. I think that would be a really cool thing to do because I don't think any of us disagree that this is a really, really good thing for a lot of people.
More followers on Twitter than President Obama.
You know, hey, good for her.
Well, I'm hoping for some bikini shots soon too.
Good for her.
Post-op.
Yeah, but what we were saying before is so prior to this recording, what we actually did was something we haven't done before. And we actually Twitch streamed us playing a game called Towerfall. And
Towerfall.
Yeah.
Towerfall Ascension on PS4.
Oh, okay.
Which we will post on the Podbean podcast.
It'll be a week.
Website.
If you want to watch us shoot each other with arrows.
And refresh my memory. What was the result
of
the game? I forgot because
beer showed up.
Brian dominated, actually.
Yeah, I believe that did happen.
He somehow won while also simultaneously killing himself.
What's crazy is, I mean, if you guys haven't played this game, it's an incredible game, I think. I mean, I bought it for
$5.
So, yeah, super fun, retro style 2D gaming.
Legitimately only uses 4 buttons.
Yep. One of which we discovered halfway through playing.
And it's got Pac-Man kind of mechanics, too.
Yeah, there is no fear of
falling through the stage.
It's a great 360 use of going through the right side, coming out the left. It was fun. There's some perks that you can pick up that hopefully you know how to use. Brett did not know what a bomb meant and let himself...
Quite a few times, actually. Quite a few times.
But it was,
be lucky
it
when you get
time.
The shield, though.
And let this be known. If you follow us and you enjoy our Twitch stream and then you send us goodies, we will give you a shout-out on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because Elliot knocked it out the park today.
Enowhere@gmail.com.
We got a 12-pack of PBR and donuts.
Mini donuts for National Donut Day.
And we played a video game for like 40 minutes. He's better than my mom. Like, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I just still can't believe you were successful, Brian, while shooting yourself literally in the foot.
Yeah, that did happen. But you know what? You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And I don't know how that applies to...
I think that was that the development team of Witcher? Was that their motto?
Oh, yeah, that was, actually. I mean, we could talk about that to wrap it up or whatever. I mean, really quick, we've played The Witcher. That's another thing. Quick impressions off of that. Brian, what do you think about The Witcher?
I had the opportunity to play it for about an hour, and I thought it was awesome. I didn't play the original, but I did play Witcher 2 on the Xbox 360.
Wait, you brought it over to my house to show me that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. This is Witcher 3.
Yeah.
The Wild Hunt.
There is lore.
That was my best impression of, I don't know what, an animal noise. But yeah, played The Witcher 2 from beginning to end. Big fan. Liked it a lot. My initial impressions of Witcher 3 are equally high. The combat is awesome. I mean, you can literally chop people in half. And that's one thing that I really appreciate in a video game. When you can just disembowel, decapitate, delimb people to your heart's utter content. Big fan of that. So thank you for that. Makers of Witcher 3. Don't know what your company name is, but keep
Project
doing
Red.
You. Project Red, there you go. But I know, Brett, you have some possible frustrations.
I've played it a little bit. You know, the one thing I'm waiting for is this patch, because apparently there's a big XP glitch. Everybody's talking about it. I'm literally mid-mission in this XP glitch right now. So I'm waiting to see if this thing's going to patch and fix everything, or if I'm fucked and have to start it over, where I've probably legitimately invested about 4 hours already. So it's not a lot, but at the same time, I don't know how incentivized I'm going to be able to play all the stuff again. You know, on the flip side of that, it's such a good game. And I mean, glitches aside, that's something I can bag up and actually say this is probably one of the best games I played this year.
So what is this glitch exactly?
So apparently what happens is you can play this really, really crucial mission that I'm at right now, the Bloody Baron. And not going to elaborate too much on that because everybody's just throwing everything out on Twitter right now. I don't even want to look at it. If you want to keep a secret to yourself, don't look at it. But apparently this mission has a very, very crucial key story point that will change the game. And a lot of people that do many objectives in this thing are not getting XP. And then progressing later and going, wait, I'm like 4 levels lower than I should be at this point. This is crazy. You know, there's obviously a glitch that did not give me anything through 4 hours of story progression that I should have been getting XP on. So
you stop earning experience points if you play this mission.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of glitch and they haven't patched it yet. And that's what I've seen the patch that's come out on the PC. They've already noticed it and said, hey, we're fixing it. They're coming out with it. I'm just waiting now, where I've literally been waiting for about a week and now just kind of signing on the PlayStation going, where the fuck is the patch? Like, can you just give me the patch so I can play this great game?
I need the patch.
I just want to play. I mean, I'm like a knicker, like I'm a like a Sig fiend right now. I just need like a Nicorette patch. I just need a Witcher patch to feed me through, you know, this portion of the game. But, you know.
Well, let's make sure to check in with you next week to see if you've gotten your patch.
Yeah.
Or if you're still cracking out.
I'd say right now, I'm very impressed with the game. And I don't think anybody that's played that, glitches aside, like glitches included, I don't think anybody hasn't walked away from that game and been thoroughly impressed with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mind you, too, when you buy the game, they've got a thank you letter in the casing that you buy. So I've never seen that done by a studio before.
And a coupon for a quick old-fashioned at your local strip club.
Yep, exactly. Which Cheetahs might get shut down, by the way, so we might have to hit that up.
There's always pure platinum.
Ooh.
There is, yeah. But it ain't Cheetahs.
Yeah. So, on that note, though. So
speaking of local businesses.
I think this is a good time to wrap it up, though. But let's tease some episodes we got in the near future.
Yes. Because we've actually got lineups and guest sets.
And I think we've legitimized that because we're on Point and Yell Productions now, so we can kind of leverage that a little bit. Thank you, Adam Connie, for everything. Next week, we've got a good guy, Greg Atkinson, coming on. Business consultant, baseball historian. Probably, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He's gonna know more than Nate Bowman on this stuff. He's a coach, baseball, and he's the biggest Midwest boy you've ever seen in your life. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So is he coming on here just because it's called Pop Not Soda? Does he think we're going to talk about how that's the correct term?
Or does he expect to be given a six-pack of soda that he can quickly ingest?
I'll tell you, if he calls it pop, everybody just agree that it's pop and don't say a single word. Just shake your head and say, yep, it's been pop my whole life. Love it. That's a great idea. Uh-huh. Yep. I absolutely love that. But yeah, Greg Atkinson, a great guy. He's going to be on next week. The following week, though, we actually have Ryan Shores on.
Mr. Ryan Shores.
Yep, Mr. Ryan Shores, my former co-host of the Degenerate Podcast. And he's actually got a roast coming up June 24th. that we're all going to attend.
Is he the one being roasted?
He is actually the one being roasted. Oh, so.
Wow. Roasted like a Thanksgiving turkey.
There's got to be a lot of material for that.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
You so, just got to look at the guy, and you could bag on him for 5 minutes.
You know what I've always said? I've always said he looks like Randy Orton. He's got this Randy Orton
just
feel
minus
to him.
All the muscle.
Well, no, I mean actually no, he's pretty. I mean he's pretty burly. UFC? He's actually done MMA before. Yeah, yeah I mean MMA, he's pretty burly. MMA. Yeah,
I said UFC, but I don't.
Yeah, MMA. He's done MMA fighting before. The guy actually looks like Randy Orton.
I mean, he may look like a professional wrestler, but he sounds like he smokes 14 packs a day.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a
which
raspy
to his credit,
voice.
He only smokes 9 packs a day.
But it kind of is weirdly soothing to the ears. So look out for Ryan Shores coming in a couple episodes.
Yep.
He'll be on the podcast in a couple weeks. And we thank you again for listening. And we thank Point and Yell Productions for, I guess, knowing talent when they see it.
Thank you, Point and Yell Production.
Woo!
I'm
Ryan
pointing and yelling.
Pointing at and yelling at the mic right now. But again, we have been Pop Not Soda, your weekly six-pack of pop culture. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Guys, let's ride this train. We are fully produced now.
Yeah, what train are we riding?
Shoot! We're riding the fully produced train.
Fully produced train.
Straight to Cashville.